When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning to you. It's Tuesday the 24th of May. You're watching Breakfast with me, Julia Hartley-Brewer. We're on Talk TV and we are live from the Talk Radio studios. Coming up, a leaked picture of Boris Johnson raising a glass at a Downing Street lockdown party claimed not to know about has been called unjustifiable by a senior Tory. Meanwhile, the UK's evacuation of Afghanistan last August showed deep failures, according to a new report by MPs, as they demand the head of the Foreign Office resigns. And police chiefs have been told they should be woke and proud as plans are set out to make the force institutionally anti-racist with compulsory lessons on black history. The time right now is 6:33. This is Talk Breakfast. Thank you very much indeed for your company. Lots to talk about today. And yeah, I'm afraid a lot of it is going to be about Partygate. And you can be shouting at the TV and radio all you want. I'm not going to change my tune about this. Did we learn anything new with these photographs, a series of four photographs of the Prime Minister at one of the many during lockdown parties that he attended? No, we probably didn't learn anything new. We knew those parties had happened. Prime Minister was at them. He didn't know they happened. He said in Parliament on a number of occasions, what parties? Oh, no, I'm horrified by the idea of people having parties. Well, he was at some of these parties and he was certainly at this one on the 13th of November, 2020, leaving due for his former director of communications, Lee Kane. There's loads of bottles of booze, there's a bottle of gin, there's some red round white wine, there's some fizz, empty glasses, at least nine people present, including the official photographer. And he didn't regard this as an illegal event. But it's funny because we know that the police did actually fine at least one person who was at that event for being at an illegal work event. Well, an illegal socialising event that was illegal under lockdown rules at the time. And yet the Prime Minister didn't get a fine. So these new photographs raise a whole host of questions about the Prime Minister, about what he was doing during lockdown when he was preventing others of us from actually living a full life, closing down bars and restaurants and pubs from actually earning a living, and at the same time having parties behind closed doors. Raises a lot of questions about him misleading Parliament, and oh yes, he did. Also raises a lot of questions about the Metropolitan Police. Oh, and the small matter, as reported on the front of the Times today, about whether or not he did pressure or attempt to pressure Sue Gray not to publish her report in full. We could see that later today, tomorrow, any day this week. Well, we're going to discuss that and plenty of other stories, I promise you, throughout the morning. And joining me all this morning in the studio is columnist from The Article, Ali Maraj. Good morning to you.
Lovely to be with you, Julia.
It's amazing how many MPs on the Tory side are not out and about at the moment, either criticising the Prime Minister or defending the Prime Minister. There are just a handful of, should we say, the usual suspects.
The Praetorian Guard. The Praetorian Peter Guard, Bone, led yes. by Peter Bone.
Yes, and others who I was on the talk with Jeremy Carl and others last night, and as you know, one of the MPs who's calling for the Prime Minister to go. I mean, he was calling for the Prime Minister to go before he was even elected, you know. But, you know, I'm a Brexiteer. I was very happy when Boris Johnson got elected in December 2019. Very happy he delivered Brexit. Very, very proud of what he's done on Ukraine. Really proud as a British citizen of where we've stood, shoulder to shoulder with Ukrainian people and giving that military help and that leadership around the world. But this, I'm sorry, this is untenable to me. Where are you in terms of these photos? Does it change anything for you?
Not really, Julia, but I do think a picture tells a thousand words.
Yeah.
And I also think that, you know, you go back to 1995 and the Nolan principles for figures in public life. And there were seven of those. And they were things like integrity, leadership, openness, transparency.
Sorry, all of these we're all things. Laughing, right? Did you just choke on your cornflakes? Come on, really?
You know, the question is, Julia, this reminds me a little bit of the expenses scandal 2009 when there was a real lack of trust in the institutions that ran the country. That was on the back of the financial crisis, on the back of the Hillsborough cover-up. And I think we're at a moment again where this feels to me like that. However, the public look at this and they think, well, OK, this guy, we know what he's like. He was never exactly holier than thou. This is to a certain degree priced. And then we look at the opposition who, instead of bowling a yorker, to use a cricketing metaphor, ended up bowling a no ball because they've now got their own questions to answer. And then you've got the Met on top of it, who didn't fine Boris Johnson for this particular picture that's all over the front pages. Lee Kane, his director of communications, leaving party. Yet someone else was fined. Another junior member of the civil service was fined. And he was fined for the Tupperware cake box incident. So it's
was
the
least egregious.
Exactly.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Metropolitan Police don't come out of it with any glory, just even for the choosing not to investigate, failure to do anything about it at the time, because lots of the evidence actually that was given to Sue Gray and to the Metropolitan Police actually came from Met police officers who were there at the time watching these parties, you know, seeing someone arrive, you know, drunk with a wheelie suitcase full of booze, and you know, people were leaving at 2-3 in the morning, brawls in the back garden of Number 10. Oh, for goodness sake, you know, the idea they weren't aware of it. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. No one comes out of this with any glory. And Keir Starmer and Angela Rayner and, look, you know, all of their sort of, let's face it, you know, they've are we calling them mistruths now? Come on, everyone's been lying about what everyone did. But this is my issue with about lockdown rules. There are lots of people who say, who are very angry because, you know, they lost loved ones. They couldn't say goodbye to someone in hospital. They had to, you know, cancel major family events like weddings and their children didn't get to meet their grandparents for months on end. I mean, these are major sort of life-changing big wrenches. Look, you know, we had to cancel my daughter's 14th birthday party. It ain't the biggest deal. I mean, I didn't get to go out on an anniversary with my husband. November, this event happened in November. It's quite a big sort of family month for us. Yeah. It's not a big deal in the big scheme of things. I do get that. But I still resent it. Not in the same way that someone who wasn't able to say goodbye to their mother or their husband, you know, they were dying.
Or the Queen. Yeah. She sat alone in St. George's Chapel.
Exactly. I mean, there are lots of people who've got there's a whole sort of array of different experiences that people have. But the crucial thing for me was there were people who were obeying the absolute letter. I mean, you know, I was still at work every day. My husband was back at work. We were actually out and about. We still had a life. I was very aware of the rules because, my God, this office was strict about the rules because we knew that, you know, we were being watched. We saw what happened with Sky and Kay Burley and everything. Yeah. And it was just like, that was not going to happen to us. People were obeying the rules. We thought the rules were stupid, but we obeyed them anyway. But this is the thing. There were people who were obeying the rules to the letter of the law because they thought it was the right thing to do or because they absolutely were terrified. And then there were people who going, I didn't obey the rules. They were all stupid. Well, bully for you. Lots of us would have lost our jobs if we'd done that. But the crucial thing is this unites people across the band. And the problem is Boris Johnson's lied about this stuff. Keir Starmer's lied about his Durham beer. There's no, and his office has, and Boris's office has. But the key thing is here, Why are we trying to live like we're, you know, living under the Stasi in East Germany? You know what I mean? This whole sort of people being, grown adults being forced to lie about having a drink with each other.
Well, look, Jacob Rees-Mogg said that the rules that had come out were pretty inhuman, but it was his government that came up with the rules in the first place. Look, Julia, you know, I've been around politics a long time. In the Conservative Party press office, it used to be an adage that you don't give a story legs. Well, this story has had legs for months now.
I mean, it's basically a centipede.
Absolutely. So the thing is, at some stage, you cannot have a situation, or you should not have a situation, where day after day, these issues go on and on and on. Yeah. Every single front page has got this picture on it now. Yeah. But fundamentally, in a situation where you've got an 80-seat majority, well, close to 80-seat majority, not quite 80 now, but still a significant majority, the only people that can remove the Prime Minister in that circumstance are his own backbenchers. Yeah. Now, when are they going to do that? I mean, they've already had a really poor set of local election results. A lot of them will be worried about their seats. But when do they act? The reason why they're not, I think, is because there's no settled alternative.
Rishi Sunak was an obvious alternative. Now he is no longer seen as... That says something, though, isn't it? A government that's been in power for 12 years.
Well, you think about
three different prime ministers, admittedly, but not actually having anyone who they think is a credible alternative.
Well, think about the late 80s, Julia. You had Margaret Thatcher there, right, who was coming into all sorts of problems before she left in the 1990. You had a whole range of people in and around who, whether you liked them or not, could have taken over. Right, you could have seen them.
Credible.
But over here, you've got a very supine, subservient cabinet that's been chosen in large part for its pliance with the leader rather than its ability or talent. And you see this again and again. And this is not to say that there are not talented people in the Conservative Party. There are. There are very good people there. But they're sidelined, they're marginalised. And I think that this puts, every time a minister goes on and defends this, it sort of damages their credibility.
Every MP who comes on to defend this, look, one of the things my listeners and viewers, you will know, is that I always speak from the heart. I always say what I think, whether you disagree with it or I agree with the bosses, anybody else. Funnily enough, I haven't got a government minister on today. Isn't that an amazing surprise when I've been so critical of it? I'm sorry, I'm not going to say my true opinion just to kowtow to anybody, because what's the point otherwise if I'm not going to say what I really think? I'm still angry about this. I'm never going to not be angry about this. I still think it's untenable. It's the kind of politics that I want for my country. I don't want it to be a Berlusconi style. I don't want it to be Putin style. I don't want it to be where we have a situation like in France where virtually every president leaves office to be arrested on corruption charges. That's just not what I think our country's about. I think we're better than that, but we need to